only three guys. There's a piece of rope, a guy hitting stuff, and a guitar player. So that's all it is.
Steve Call of the Brass Kings. He plays the guitar. Mikkel Beckman is the guy hitting stuff. And Brad Tocek is the one with the piece of rope. Three guys and an unusual band. A trio named after a washboard. The name was bestowed casually in the same way their musical alliance happened, as an afterthought. There just wasn't a lot of planning.
The Brass Kings started literally on stage at the Viking Bar in 2005. I had a solo show booked, and I'd been playing solo shows, fingerstyle, you know, just doing my thing on the resonator guitars. And at about the same time, Mikkel was playing with Charlie Parr, and I had seen them play, and I thought, that's a really cool sound. Mikkel lived in town, and we had met, and he had played with other people, so I said, Charlie, you know, I might have to steal Mikkel for a show or something. He said, well, that's fine. You know, the gruff, that's okay, I don't own him. At the same time, I didn't know this, but Brad, my old friend, he and Mikkel had been talking about forming a band. Brad had been playing washed-up bass at the jug band contest at the Caboose.
And the story is, I ran into Steve and told him I was playing this tub and that I actually made money doing it, filling in for a real band. And I didn't just go up and I wing it. And he's like, you can just wing it? And I'm like, yeah, I can just wing it. He goes, well, you know, I got the show, you know, at the Viking. Maybe you'd like to come, you know, play. I was like, well, sure. Maybe we should rehearse, though. I think we got a six-pack, and we started playing, and it just kind of fell right in. We each had a beer, and we played a few songs. Okay, I'd try a few more, and then we were just like, well, okay, it works. Let's just do the show then. Yeah, we didn't even finish the six-pack, you know. We get partway through a song, okay, why pound that dead horse? You know, let's just move to the next one, and it really fell in place. So we said, okay, let's just do that Viking show then. And
that's kind of been our ethic the whole time. Don't wreck it by rehearsing.
And then I didn't know it, but when I got there, there was a scrubboard player. It was my old buddy Mikkel.
I think I might have played with Mikkel once before, and of course, you know, he's got a good ear. He'd been playing with Charlie. He kind of knew how to follow a guitar player. And
Mikkel didn't tell Steve to get me, and I didn't tell Steve to get Mikkel. And me and Mikkel had talked about looking for a Steve, but I guess Steve found us. And yeah, we got done playing, and I was like, God, you guys are great tonight. You know, how long you guys been playing? I haven't seen you around. And we were kind of like, well, I don't know. How long were we playing? Yeah, we just started showing up at Steve's gigs, going under the name, you know, I'm Steve, this is Brad and Mikkel. You know, until finally we were playing like Grumpy's Folk Festival Northeast, which was kind of a cool gig. We didn't have a name and we didn't come up with one yet. And Steve was on stage and he said, hi, you know, whatever, I'm Steve. And he looked over at Mikkel and read the scrub board. These are the Brass Kings.
Brad Tocek of the Brass Kings, a group with an acoustic organic sound that shines through in this tune from their self-titled album, a song about yet another kind of handmade art, denim lace.
With their children at their heel.
The unintentional way the Brass Kings formed is mirrored in the personal musical biographies of its three members. Mikkel Beckman is the washboard player. Since he prefers to play an older-style washboard that bears the name Brass King, you could make a strong argument that the group is all about him, but he would never say that. In addition to his percussive nights, Mikkel has a day job as executive director of St. Stephen's Human Services, working as part of a community effort to end homelessness. So he's got enough to do without filling up the calendar with music gigs. Mikkel says the first step in becoming a performing musician wasn't even his idea, since he didn't play an instrument when he was growing up, other than dabbling with the saxophone in middle school. When faced with a choice between music lessons or studying a language, he went with German, but he kept his love for music, and people noticed.
I was always one of those annoying kids who tapped along to music, you know, on the dashboard in the car or on a table, or just always tapping. And people used to always tell me, oh, you should be a drummer. And I just happened to meet Charlie Parr. We worked together when he lived in Minneapolis. He was working on the streets, delivering food and care and assistance to people who were living outside. And I was working in a shelter at the time. And I was over at his place one time, and he was playing guitar, and I was just tapping along on a box. And, he, you know, we had this conversation about how he wanted to start playing out his songs in front of people and try and... So it was his idea. He said, well, you know, at the time we both really were into Booker White, and Booker White had a washboard player, Washboard Sam, on his early recordings, and we sort of thought, well, we could, you know, do a guitar washboard thing. And there happened to be a washboard hanging in the window of Steeple People on Franklin and Lindale. It was $14. And so he bought it and gave it to me and said, take this home, figure out how to make the thing work, and I'll get us a show. And I guess I did just take it home and figured out my own style, because the way I play is very different from most people that I've seen play the washboard. So I knew two things. I wanted a metal-on-metal sound, you know, the brass metal of the washboard. So I knew I wanted to play with some metal accoutrements on my fingers. And I wanted it to be all homemade as much as possible. So I went home and I bent some nails and fashioned them into rings, and because I wanted the pieces to stick out a little bit, because you can do more with hitting the wood part and scraping and tapping. And I knew I wanted to keep it as simple as possible. It's definitely a background instrument. You're there to tighten up the strings and to allow then somebody who's singing, who's also playing a guitar or something, to really focus on the emotion in the voice. And so a simple tap allows a strummer to just forget what they're doing with their hands and focus on singing, I think. And so I did. I took it home. I went to the basement. I pounded out these nails and found some copper tubing from a, you know, plumbing job. And I had an old silver ring I'd picked up somewhere along the way in India, maybe. And so stuck them on my fingers and proceeded to flail about. It's funny, you know, the washboard has taken me a lot of wonderful places and gotten me in to meet all kinds of wonderful people, and that just keeps going. It keeps stumbling along, which is just the beauty of it all, because it was certainly just an accidental discovery, and Charlie buying me a washboard 10, 12 years ago, and now it sort of just continues on, and it's just life. That's what is so fascinating about life, you know. Just, you can wake up one day and all of a sudden you're on stage at the state fair, banging on a washboard and watching 60 children run around in utter delight. But it's part of it is just saying yes to things that on the face of it sound a little ridiculous, you know. Take this home and figure out how to play it. I'll get us a show.
Mikkel Beckman, washboard player for the Brass Kings. His work with the homeless has an echo in this Brass Kings song, written by Steve Call after he took a shortcut down the railroad tracks one night and was surprised to see people living in cardboard boxes.
Well, the city is waking from a long winter sleep, rubbing its eyes, stretching its streets, picking up the trash, all the little bug crumbs, work for workhouse cash, better than being a bum. The bums are feeling springtime, but it's different for them, because they made it through the winter, and not everybody can. When the springtime comes, In that cardboard shack. When the springtime comes, when the springtime comes, when the springtime comes, everything gonna be revealed.
Brass Kings with When the Springtime Comes on Miniculture from KFAI. I'm Dale Connolly. Just after 9 o'clock in the morning, one member of the trio, Brad Tochik, is cooking the first meal of the day at the historic Bandbox Diner in the Elliott Park neighborhood of Minneapolis. He is the owner, and according to the menu, he's the grease magician at this tiny landmark not far from the Hennepin County Medical Center and the Metrodome. The sign says the Bandbox is open till closed, most days 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. That leaves time for music in the evening, and for Brad, that means playing the washtub bass. The washtub bass is a startling musical contraption, if you've never seen one. It's built with three pieces, an upside-down resonant metal washtub, sometimes called a gut bucket, a stick, and to connect the stick and the resonator, a rope. A clothesline, in this case. It works, although not with the same precision as the electric bass, an instrument Brad also knows well because he played one in a group called the Urban Gorillas. The washtub, Brad says, is something he fell into.
That happened because some waitresses I was working with were putting together a jug band for the jug band contest. And they needed a bass player. And I'm like, well, I'm a bass player. And their dad had built them a tub. So they brought me the tub, and we entered the contest, and got second. So then we got together the next year, and I think they gave us best set list. We did Talking Heads and things like that, and not traditional jug music. And but I was keeper of the bass, so I had it every year. And then meanwhile, some friends of mine had heard me there, and they wanted me to play in their kind of jug band, and they played more traditional jug music, which was easier to play because I just kind of just grabbed the instrument and, like I said, went for it. Put on the record player and just started playing, and whatever happened, happened, you know. Like by the third year, I was playing with a few different bands at the thing. And I got a call at the Bandbox a couple weeks later by the guy in the Liquor Pig saying, hey, can I fill in for their bass player? And I'd never done anything like that, so of course I said, sure, you know. So I did, and I started doing that for a little while. And that summer, their bass player was busy, so I did quite a few shows. And, you know, but I kind of, once I started doing it, I figured out, heck, I could get good at this, you know, it'd be fun. As I modify my instrument, you know, before it was like I could just get a dink, bonk, and it just ends on its own. Or you hit a note, bonk. So if you have an instrument where you have enough sustain, you can actually control the ending of the notes, which then that's where you get the flavor and the soul. Not that I couldn't before, but I had to like slide more into it and stuff. So, you know, there's just, you're still learning. It's like cooking or something. You learn something every day.
Like a one-eyed man looking for a truth. you. Then it leans over, taps your shoulder, whispers something in your ear. You might find what you're after, but how you gonna get it out of here?
Brass Kings with a song called One-Eyed Man. Brad Tocic said that learning the bass is like cooking. That's an apt comparison because cooking is something he knows well.
Boy, I've done a lot of different things. I ran my own bakery for a while. I did a lot of rock and roll catering. I did all the food at the first Lollapaloozas, the first four. Was in charge of all the backstage food, all the crew food. And then so after that, I became a chef. Like, did fine dining, and when I got into the fine dining realm, that's when it was really, you know, high pressure, 10, 12-hour days, you know, I'm writing menus, writing recipes, you know, I've got a 24-hour kitchen, I got a bakery running overnight, I'm making all my own pastas. Yeah, it was a lot of work, and then got fed up. I heard about the diner that in the neighborhood that I moved into when I moved into Minneapolis was... You know, the neighborhood was getting some money, and there might be some money to help the diner, and the man running it was losing his butt. So I was like, wow, you know, I've lived there a block away for 20 years almost, so maybe I will. So I went in, I asked the owner, you know, if he was looking to sell. He said, well, he was an older guy, you know, and he's, oh, no, I want to finish it. I can't, you know, I started this, I want to finish it. I could use a partner, though. And I was like, great, because I'm broke. So, we worked out a deal where every year I got 20% of the restaurant. Sweat equity. Yeah, so that's how I ended up there. And I've been there 13 years now in that corner.
Brad Tocic. As a restaurant owner and chef, he spends hours in a hot kitchen every day, doing draining, physical work. And his musical job is not much easier. When he's got his foot propped up on the washtub and is wearing heavy work gloves to thump a tightly drawn rope, sliding it along the stick to play different notes, it's easy to see this is fundamental music, but it's also a workout.
You know, it is a workout. When I first started playing, I could get through maybe 2-3 songs. So, you know, but I've built up the muscles and stuff. And then I'm also, you know, when you're flying by the seat of your pants at first, you're throwing energy in the wrong direction. You know, and after you start to learn what you're doing and you start to get better and better, you can start throwing the energy in the right direction.
Brad Tocic, who handles the low notes for the Brass Kings. Here's the group with a song called Company Man Blues.
Bills come in and the money goes.
Company Man Blues, The Brass Kings, with guest vocalist Jayanthi Kyle. It's late on a frigid Sunday night in early December, and the Brass Kings are making an appearance at the Turf Club in St. Paul as part of a release party for a compilation disc recorded there on the club's old stage.
All right, we're starting to warm up. How about you guys? We're the Brass Kings. Very pleased to be here tonight. Thank you. Back at the Turf Club. That's where we had our very first CD release party. Back in 2006, I think, or something like that. So we were sharing horror stories from the Turf Club.
Steve Call is the group's guitarist, singer, and songwriter. He handles the patter between songs and does all the vocals. And like Brad Tuchik, he's a chef at a local restaurant. But he downplays that because his heart is in music, and music is what brought Steve Call from Bemidji to the Twin Cities. At the Turf Club, the Brass Kings launch into Bigville, a term to describe Minneapolis that Steve picked up from his father. Making the move to Bigville was a natural choice once he realized that writing and performing his own music was the sort of work he most wanted to do.
Well, I was always interested in music. I think the first time that I really thought about doing it as a lifelong thing was when I saw my cousin Jeff playing in a band. I was young, I was probably 12. And he played electric guitar, and I thought it was the coolest thing I'd ever seen. And it was. And they had a band house that I was let into, which featured giant custom PA cabinets and amplifiers. And you remember the pop tops from beer? Well, when you could separate them, you could make little chains out of them. And they had them strung throughout the house. Anyway, they were a real band, and he actually helped me pick out my first electric guitar. So he was really the guy that got me going. You know, I wasn't all that great, to tell you the truth, at the rock band thing. But I stuck with it. And also at the same time, I was given an acoustic guitar by my grandpa. So I was playing fingerstyle, you know, for myself at the same time. I didn't tell the rock band guys about that. It wouldn't have been cool. I played the rhythm guitar, which really taught me a lot about rhythm. I played bass occasionally, too. But I kept on playing, and I started writing songs at an early age, making up my own things. I wrote things that might have been a little too sensitive. And thankfully, those haven't been released. But occasionally, I'll find a piece of paper or something from that time, and wow. Yep.
After moving to Minneapolis from Bemidji, Steve wound up doing gigs with a band. It was fun and exciting, and there were big dreams along with stark reality.
We didn't know. We were just hoping it would go somewhere. We did some demos, and we were talking to guys at Paisley Park, and you know, there were all these things in the air and people shopping our tape and all this. But you know, when you're really young and you're really excited, it can seem like it's right around the corner, but it I don't know. It just never quite fell together. And ultimately, you realize, what was I expecting? You know, I'm making music. I'm making my own music. It's pretty satisfying. So I guess, you know, you learn to really focus on what the real thing is versus what might happen in Los Angeles or New York someday, you know.
Making your own music. It means not betting everything on commercial success, but choosing instead to go where your interests lead. And for the Brass Kings, that means expanding the musical textures they've already established, adding a snare drum for Mikkel, and some amplification, and even some distortion for Brad on the washtub bass. Bringing in some influences from rock, and collaborating. One particularly intriguing partnership for Steve Call involves Nirmala Rajasekhar, a well-known star in the classical music of India, and a Minnesota-based performer who can easily resonate with some of the exotic strains that continue to infiltrate the Brass Kings sound.
The melodies got in my head at an early age. Ravi Shankar, the records were in the house, and I didn't even have to work at it. I tuned my resonator guitar to a C tuning one day and started playing this melody. I thought, what is that? I've heard that before. And turns out it was the Ravi Shankar Bangladun Raga. How that got in my head and why it stayed there, I have no idea, but there it was. And so I frantically dug out the LP and played along with it, and that's kind of where the improvisation for Dynaflow came from. And so Nirmala, of course, she hears me do that, and it opens up a door for her. You know, there's suddenly a confluence. It's not just Eastern sound on Western sound. It's a real opportunity for a conversation. And when you get someone that listens like she does, or like Brad Mickle do, is when the best music comes, especially when you're listening. If you're not sure what's coming, you really have to listen. And we push each other and make those corners kind of jagged and maybe play it a little faster this time. That's where the real music is in the moment.
Steve Call of the Brass Kings. The tune is Dynaflow. We heard excerpts from three of the group's recordings, The Brass Kings, Washboard Rope Guitar, and Live Humdinger. To find out more about the group, you can go online to SteveCall, that's K-A-U-L, .com. I'm Dale Connolly. Thanks for listening.
Funding for Miniculture on KFAI comes from listeners like you and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.